Everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. And this is our best of and worst of show for 2021. Of course, with me, as always, is the best of 2021. Best of everything, Rich Stambolian.
Always the best, always the greatest New Year's baby, and the greatest New York baby.
you definitely do make a great New Year's baby.
What's up, man?
What's going on, man? How was your holiday? How was your Christmas?
It was good. Christmas was good. Super low-key. Didn't go anywhere. Breakfast with the folks on Christmas Day and just like ooze and chill out. Watch Spider-Man, watch The Matrix. It was fantastic.
Fantastic. We did Christmas Eve. Obviously, we did like a thing with, just something small. And then we, Christmas, just us. Nobody came. It was wonderful. I did nothing all day. The kids played with all the toys, destroyed the house. It was fantastic. That's exactly what it's about. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to see anybody.
Same here, dude. Like, F that. Like, I just want to ooze on my couch. Double OZ, baby.
Double OZ. Guys, we do have a lot to talk about. Man, it was a fantastic year. I mean, considering all things, still in a pandemic. I don't think people imagine that this thing would have been 22 months, 23 months into this. We made the best out of it, and we had some pretty awesome historic moments in pro wrestling this year. Also, some terrible moments in pro wrestling this year. So we're going to run down this, the best of and the worst of. I know you guys love it when we talk about this stuff. So this is an annual thing now that we're doing. This is the first one we're doing on F4W, which is pretty cool. So where do you want to begin, Rich? You want to start with the best of or the worst of?
I gotta say, man, like, I do think, like, the number one moment, I think, for you and I, because of the situation we were in, being in Vegas, being in your beautiful hotel room, and watching CM Punk return.
Chicago.
In Chicago. Well, we were in Vegas.
We were in Vegas, yes, the week before.
And, yeah, we were in Vegas for SummerSlam, and that was the weekend that CM Punk returned, and we got to watch it together. Yeah, we got to watch it together with a bunch of people, a bunch of our fans, and it was, what a tremendous experience. You know, like, to me, that was the best of 2021.
And I have to tell you, the summer, the entire summer, right, I would say.
Yeah.
You and I had a very busy summer.
We had a blast.
We did have a blast. It definitely was a blast, and it's become so, like, so much was happening back-to-back that I kind of forgot that we watched that in the hotel room. After doing that insane pool interview with Rob Van Dam and Katie Ford.
To paint the picture, we had a canceled flight in order to go to Vegas to do an interview at the Sapphire Pool
with Rob and Katie
in Las
Forbes.
Vegas with Rob Van Dam and Katie Forbes. We ended up landing the day of the interview, Friday morning, boom, right? And we're all effed up from lack of sleep. We've been up forever. Immediately did not have time to go to the hotel. Immediately set up all the gear, podcasted for 2.5 hours, went to the hotel, chilled out, and then, because it's West Coast time, made it to your room at 7 o'clock to watch CM Punk return on Rampage that Friday night.
That weekend probably took a couple years off my life.
I know, man. Like, that was a bad weekend for you.
Very high stress with the plane, with the flights. I kind of lost my mind for a little bit, but it worked out.
You kind of told everybody they were going to die.
I told everybody they were going to. I just started screaming it in the streets. But yeah, you're absolutely right, man. CM Punk, that Rampage at the United Center, sold out United Center for one guy, you know, pretty much.
Yeah, one guy. And what was the deal with that? They announced it, what, like 3 weeks away? And the speculation was heavy. And like Tony Khan said, it was the worst kept secret in wrestling history, pretty much, right?
I don't think, you said something to me that week and you're like, you know, if this was WWE, I would really have doubt still that he's showing up. I think it was you that said that during the trip.
Quite possibly. Because they do like that weird case in point. You know, if we're going to talk about one of the best moments, I do think it's not on our list, but I think opposite of CM Punk returning was a Survivor Series in New York without The Rock on his 25th anniversary.
Which we'll go into that. I mean, that's a complete opposite of this, but you're absolutely right. That was a great moment. Best of CM Punk returning to pro wrestling after 7 years in the United Center in AEW. That building erupted for him.
Good Lord.
And he has to be. And last night, even, and we'll talk about this on the show when we record the show. But last night, you could see that he really he's having so much fun being out there. He's excited to be out there. There's a lot of really good stuff happening in that company. And you know, you sometimes think like, well, if the pandemic had not happened, how would these things have fallen into place? Or if they would have? I mean, there's a lot of what ifs with the way that things went this year and in the previous year. So I know that that was a big deal, obviously. CM Punk returning, United Center sold out. Now, do you think it was a little bit of like a downgrade to do to Sears Center after this?
No, not at all.
Because
not at all.
A lot of people were like, well, why didn't they just stick with the United Center? I'm like, no, they already had a commitment to the Sears Center or Now Arena, whatever they're calling it now.
Yeah, the Now Arena. You know, honestly, like not downgrade. I think people like to gripe, especially when they don't think ahead or think outside of themselves, you know, where it's fun regardless of where it is. You know, I don't know. I never understood that. I never understood like, oh, why couldn't it be here? Like, are you going to the show? Did you write the show? Did you book the show? No. You know, like just absorb it. It's going to be awesome. I think there's like this weird internal fear that people have where they're like, oh, well, it's not going to be at capacity.
Yeah.
Who cares?
It's fine. All Out Weekend surprise debuts, Rich.
That, again, we were in Chicago for this.
Yeah, we were there.
And again, like, I think we have a skewed perspective on the best and worst just because of our circumstances during all this stuff. So All Out Weekend in Chicago, again, we had a blast in Chicago. We brought the wives with us. We brought our handler, MG Geek, Mr. Gonzo.
We had a handler at both events. And I I feel like Gonzo became your handler and Jonathan was my handler. I think he was just trying to sedate me the whole weekend in Vegas.
Oh yeah, for sure. He was trying to inject you, fill you up with all sorts
of nastiness. Theory. You had a theory.
Yes. I'll say that off the air.
Yeah.
So All Out Weekend, not only did we get we had Minoru Suzuki showing up, Ruby Soho's AEW debut,
fantastic.
Adam Cole's AEW debut, and Bryan Danielson's AEW debut at the end of an already stacked, amazing wrestling show for All Out.
Hey, CM Punk wrestled that weekend too.
And CM Punk wrestled his first match back with Darby Allin.
Yeah. You know, that was I got to tell you, like in the older years we've done wrestling coverage and everything, I think that was the most fun that we had.
Oh yeah,
I think because the wives were there too.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it was fantastic when Dave took Vicky's head and just like tried to like she's like he's like hey look Vicky look how strong I am and just like crushed it with his bicep.
He came up to both our wives and got them both in like double headlocks. It was
double
very
headlocks.
Weird.
His arms extend. It comes out of nowhere. It's just a bicep flying. Dude, I thought that was awesome, man. We're in the hotel room. It's you know, Dave and Brian and Garrett and us and everybody else. We're just recording this.
Don't
like,
forget Denise.
Where's Denise?
She was there.
Denise was there. And I had a very heart-to-heart conversation with Denise. Like, I had a really good conversation. And she actually... she wrote me something and I'll talk about it on the show. She's over the weekend, she sent me like a gift card, a Starbucks gift card, and wrote me this one of the sweetest notes ever. And I was like, you know what? I can't say anything bad about this girl ever. She's a fantastic human being. Not that I was going to, but I'm glad that we've all got to know each other. I'm very happy for that.
Are you sure the note didn't say, we had an HR department, would get you fired immediately.
yeah, that's exactly what the note was. It was the nicest note I've ever gotten.
That's very nice.
Yeah. I thought that was a really fun weekend. We all have fun. We got to meet everybody from the from the F4W crew, obviously, and all the subscribers. Everybody was so fantastic. Everybody was awesome. I had such a great time talking wrestling with everybody. For me, it was like, you know, like I was a pig in shit. You know, like I absolutely loved it. I love talking about wrestling. It was a fun weekend. And same with you. We had a great, I had the best time. I had the best time that weekend. And I think it was
fantastic.
Yeah. The show was great, but I think it was everything else. You know, being around like really fun people. That was fun. Dude, we destroyed that Chili's.
Do you know, I've never had so much fun in a Chili's in my entire life.
I think it was somebody tweeted, or it was Sean that tweeted. He goes, Andrew Zarian, Sean Ross Sapp, and Dave Meltzer walk into a Chili's. And I thought, oh my God, that's a fantastic. Like, what are the odds that would ever happen?
It was a fun time. So, you know, even during all that weekend. We also got the that insane cage match between the Bucks and the Lucha Bros. Would you rank that as best of 2020?
Yeah, I love that match. That was one of my favorites.
I think as a whole, All Out was one of the best things of 2021.
I think I said this, and I think you said this too. It was probably one of the best shows I've ever been to. I would probably say the best show I've ever been to.
I'll say best show I've ever been to.
It's kind of tough. Like, was it the... Well, actually, let me think. Yeah, I would say that for sure. Because I was at some pretty awesome shows. And that ECW One Night Stand, both of those were fantastic. And I consider those like two of the best shows that I've been to. And a lot of the Garden shows were good. Like a lot of... you know what? I'm going to stick to it. Probably the best show I've ever been to. Top pay-per-views of all time.
Oh, for sure. My number one was the New Japan Ring of Honor show in MSG.
That was fantastic.
And I think All Out squeaks by it from 2021 just because of, like, you know, a couple of, like, the weird, let's be honest here, a couple of the weird Ring of Honor things, you know, which kind of fell flat for me.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got here.
We got Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa in a lights out match at St. Patrick's Day Massacre as one of the things we could pull from. I enjoyed that match.
Dude, that was like almost a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in front of nobody. And it was in front of nobody. Right? I mean, that's a crazy
part. Crazy.
Imagine if that was in front of a live crowd, how great it would have been. We also saw Edge return.
Mm.
Edge and Bianca Belair won the Royal Rumble. I thought that was fantastic. They did a great job with Edge. Bianca Belair also, great job with Bianca Belair there. And I would say this would, people are going to get upset. I would say that this, you know, you're talking about a run in WWE like no other. I would say this Roman Reigns run has been one of the best that they've ever had in that company.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Like, Roman Reigns right now is pretty much like a fully actualized villain. You know, he is a fully actualized character. And look at these title
defenses. That's a great way of putting it, by the way.
It is true.
Yeah.
You know, like, he, on paper, this, you can clearly see, like, this is what Vince wants. And as much as people complain about WWE and their characters, etc., Roman Reigns has proved that he is a very coachable and moldable person in the ring. Outside of the ring, probably seems like a nice guy. And when the company likes you, this is proof of how far you could go, you know? And look at the title defenses this guy has had. Kevin Owens, Bryan Danielson, Edge, Cesaro, John Cena, Finn Balor, Brock Lesnar, Sami Zayn. And some of these guys, he even wrestled numerous times in the past year. That belt is his.
Yeah, they really solidified it as his title belt.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you... Who was his best opponent?
You know... I really, really enjoyed the match he had with Bryan Danielson, formerly Daniel Bryan.
Formerly Daniel Bryan. And the triple threat was fantastic.
Yes.
Three-way.
I think Roman, honestly, he's one of those guys that could work with anybody. Much like Cena, much like a Ric Flair. Roman could work with anybody, and it would be fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. Here's a nice one that MG Geek put, and I totally forgot that this happened at NXT TakeOver 36. Walter and Dragunov.
Great match. Nice, hard-hitting, snug.
Yeah.
You know, non-American styles on both these guys.
See, I think this match suffered from the pandemic.
I agree with that. And you know what else suffered from the pandemic? Mm. The New Japan stuff.
Oh, dude. I mean, that's really going to be in the worst of category for me as far as a promotion goes. And not that I want to put them there. I think they've had a bad 24 months, along with a lot of other people, obviously. Ring of Honor, that's going to go in the worst of, obviously. But they haven't been able to come out of this because of the restrictions, the travel issues, the pandemic, their booking kind of being plagued with injuries.
Yes.
You know, for the title, for the world title. People are saying that new title belt is cursed, that world title.
Oh, boy, yeah. Well, I think Okada is bringing it home.
Maybe, let's see. I hate that title belt, by the way, the new one.
I know.
Don't like it. Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, main event night one of WrestleMania. I thought that was fantastic.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a great match.
Yeah, the worst of from that day was the rain delay.
The rain delay was the worst of that day. And everybody was so confused by it.
Yeah, it was weird. We were sitting in the studio with our friend Josh, and I was losing my mind.
Oh man, I forgot Josh was here.
Yeah, Josh was here in the studio, and I was losing it. I was like, this can't be happening, right? Because it was also raining, like, by us, and I was like, I really don't want to drive home at like 1 a.m. in the rain.
Oh, because it was delaying everything so much. Yeah, yeah. The Forbidden Door, obviously, huge part of the change in pro wrestling. New Japan and Impact, AEW and Impact, Impact and AEW, New Japan and AEW. We got to see Minoru Suzuki, Kenta, and Kojima all show up in AEW this year. My opinion, this would have been a much larger list. By the way, Rocky Romero also. We got a couple. Yuji Nagata. And that was the return of Yuji on TNT in like 20-something years.
Pretty wild stuff.
1998, Yuji Nagata, the last time he was on TNT, on American television.
And you also got, like, again, this is, I think, for us and the guys who run the show, you got, like, this weird Bullet Club reunion in 2021, right? Where they couldn't call themselves a Bullet Club, but they could still Too Sweet between the Forbidden Door opening, so you're getting Gallows and Anderson, Kenny, and the Bucks.
Yeah.
Cool. Brandon Cutler kind of thrown in there also.
Yeah. You know, crowds came back, obviously. Big news. Huge part of 2021. And, you know, talk about like the rise and fall of companies. The rise of GCW.
Mm. Yeah, man. You know, like, not to say that we slept on GCW, but it's always the extra for us. You know what I mean? Where, like, whenever we go to these shows in New York or wherever we were, people would always be like, yo, did you guys get your GCW tickets? And we're like, nah, we're wrestled out. Like, we're done. We're done for the day. You know, like, shop's closed. And then, you know, like, GCW has turned into, like, this big party event, which is a lot of fun. You know, you got Matt Cardona winning the championship and getting bottles thrown at him, booed out of the building. Moxley winning the belt. Nick Gage showing up on AEW, wrestling Chris Jericho during that.
That was, by the way, like a bonkers moment. That would be one of my most bonkers. I was watching that at the club, I think. I was meeting a client and I was watching it on the screen and I'm like, what the hell's happening here?
Yeah, like, who'd have thought, right?
I mean, it's pretty cool. Like, it is pretty cool to see, you know, this like unrestricted access to talent that you could just put together a crazy match and just go through with it. Like, you know that Chris Jericho and Eddie Kingston is going to be a thing, and that's like a vanity project for both of them because they want to wrestle each other. I think that's awesome.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we'll talk more about that on the regular show. But also, like, you know, like, I guess that's part of the Forbidden Door, you know, getting these guys who are either unsigned or with other companies to show up on AEW. And also, I do want to say that 2021, as far as AEW goes, has been the year of unbelievable promo work.
Yeah, the promos are back in general, you know. And by the way, WWE side too. Edge has been doing fantastic promos. Roman Reigns, fantastic promos. The guys that are really good at it are being profiled as really good at it. And we got to see this in AEW with CM Punk and MJF. And this kind of led into a story that we published a couple weeks ago. And it was how key people at the networks, are very interested in knowing about MJF. And, you know, like, I'm very friendly with a lot of these guys because of all my other side projects. And, you know, when I'm getting asked, not that they never have asked me before, but when they're asking me, like, what's this guy's story over a couple drinks and we're talking about it, and one of them stops and he goes, listen, I really don't give a shit about wrestling anymore. I just stopped watching. But somebody told me to put this on. I think they sent it to him or whatever. And he goes, I stopped what I was doing and I watched it. I'm like, that means a lot.
Oh, for sure.
So this is working.
Asses in seats. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So you get that. It's kind of interesting. MG wrote in the notes here, the promos between CM Punk and MJF, were those your favorite of the year?
I would say those were my favorite. I think some of the Roman stuff was really, really good. The Edge stuff with Rollins was solid, was really good also. But I think, like, because this is in recent memory, I would kind of lean towards this program and the promos back and forth happening between these guys.
That's interesting. I think I feel like Kenny deserves a little credit for all the wacky promos he did this year too.
Yeah, you know, like underrated, very underrated,
very underrated. I think he flexed his skills with that. And also, you know, like we have a couple more things, but I want to throw in Malakai Black debuting in AEW as huge deal, just because, again, he's another guy who's trying to like fully actualize that character, and it's been working.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Omega stealing the title with the help of Don Callis. Big moment. And obviously Hangman winning the AEW world title at Full Gear. Big moment.
Huge moment. Also, I'm going to piggyback on that a little bit. One of the coolest things I think of 2021 was Kenny becoming the belt collector.
Yeah, but you know what? They didn't go full on forward with it.
Well, that's the next thing I was going to say. So you had the tease of him becoming like a full on belt collector, which was really cool. But I think one of the worst things of 2021 was that just kind of going away.
Yeah, it fizzled out. And I don't know if it had to do with the pandemic. I mean, they're pretty careful with that kind of stuff. Mm. Do you think it was a pandemic, or do you think they just went a different direction?
I think it was probably a combination of both. Maybe it was like whoever they were talking to wasn't playing ball or something like that. Because like, think about it this way, and this is something we haven't talked about, right? If they proceeded with that Kenny Omega belt collector gimmick and it went months and months and months, right?
Yeah.
Who's to say that they couldn't put that Ring of Honor belt on him?
Oh yeah, they could have. I mean, now they could have too, because that belt's not anywhere, you know?
So I think that would have been such a cool thing. Well, listen, your company's dissolving. Let's keep this belt on a hot talent and then at some point resurrect it. You know, the last Ring of Honor champion. Imagine that.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much that they could have done. But listen, they went. I thought fairly it was a very strong year for pro wrestling, with wrestling coming back out of the Thunderdome. Obviously, we didn't, you know, that's part of the big story for 2021 also.
Yeah.
Live crowds. The best moment is live crowds returning as a whole for the industry. That would be the best one. If we're talking, now here's a question for you. Best match.
Oh, boy. So many.
Right?
So many that really, really got my attention. Right off the top of my head, Hangman Daniel Bryan. The hour long.
Okay.
Kenny Daniel Bryan.
Danielson, Edge and Roman was fantastic. Also,
Danielson, Edge and Roman. Oh my God.
I can't. What would you say was the best match of the year? I can't.
Only because it's fresh, I would say Danielson Page. You know what I really liked? Honorable mention, apart from the C4 fizzling. Moxley Kingston.
So I'm on Pro Fight DB.
Mm-hmm.
And they go based on star rating. Daniel Bryan. The highest rated match was Ospreay and Shingo, which I would say that definitely was top tier of the year.
Phenomenal.
AEW, it was the cage match between Penta and Rey Fénix and the Jackson Twins. They're the Jackson Twins. That's their new name.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're not twins. Page and Omega is third at Full Gear. We forgot about that, right?
Great match, yeah.
Then they have Shingo and Ishii. Another fantastic match.
Oh, phenomenal, yeah.
You know, like, there was so many of them. But definitely, I would say, like, I'm looking at this list. WWE's not even on this. And that is bizarre. I'm looking at it. I see a couple NXT stuff. Before I see a WWE match on this list, which is really, I don't know if it's bias or scary or what.
It's a little of both. I don't think it's bias. I think, you know, we always say this on the show, WWE is not a wrestling product.
No, listen, and by the way, the below is, it's Dave's interpretation of what the best matches were.
Right.
Looking at this list, like, look at this. One, two, three. I mean, there's, where does WWE go? Crown Jewel at Edge versus Rollins, 4.75 stars.
You know what? That was a pretty fantastic match. They pulled out all the stops, yeah.
Yep.
Even, you know what? Edge Rollins SummerSlam was very good, too.
Yeah. Listen, man, they had a good year. You know, coming back, they really came out swinging. with some really great matches. Mm-hmm. By the way, Vengeance Day, we got Johnny Gargano and Kushida. That was a great match.
Yes.
Ton of NXT matches we got to see that were really good. So, you know, it's all perspective how you look at it. But I would definitely say that for me, I don't know. For me, you know what? I'm going to go with Paige and Omega is my top favorite singles match. And I'd probably go tag match. I would go with the cage match because I thought that was fantastic. And then probably close second is the Danielson stuff for singles match.
I think my favorite match is going to be Danielson Hangman the hour long.
You really like that match.
I love that match for a lot of reasons. One, like those, you never really see those matches anymore, like an hour long.
Yeah.
It went on first. Also, the story that they told, I think, was great. This guy, Danielson, being a multiple time world champion and Hangman being a single time world champion in his first title defense, basically against a wrestling machine. You know, like the story they told, I think, was pretty fantastic. And it makes you think that Hangman has like a tenuous grip on that title.
Yeah.
You know, like he could lose it any second.
Yeah, very cool. That was our best stuff. I'm sure we're leaving a lot of good stuff out. Post a comment. I want to know what you guys thought were the best moments of 2021. And I'd like to know what you guys thought of the WWE side also. You know, what we got to see there. Because a lot of wonkiness there. And I think no matter what good they did, it was kind of overshadowed by the bad that happened in that company. And I guess we'll go right into the top worst moment of 2021. Could possibly become a very positive moment for a lot of the talent in 2022. But as a whole, nobody wants to see anybody get fired. And that's the 80 releases that happened this year. WrestleNomics did a good job putting a list together here. Do you want me to go through that list?
Yeah, let's just touch on the big names here.
I have the
during
whole thing
the entire
here.
Year.
This is how it started. Oh, man, WrestleNomics, great job at this. 79 releases, so 80 with Toni Storm right now, right? The first release of the year, do you know who it was?
Yes, your favorite wrestler on the planet.
Lars Sullivan.
Yeah.
Lars was first in January, then a follow with Big Show and Steve Cutler.
Well, we also should make a clear delineation here.
Yeah.
People who were released and people who didn't resign / ask for their release. Like Big Show didn't re-sign with the company.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of them. There's a bunch of people on this list that were not that left on their own want.
Yeah.
Right? They requested to leave. Majority of them did not request to leave, but a lot of them did. There were also a lot of COVID reasons why some people were released. We'll go into that. That happened later on. But look at this list here, right? March 21st, Andrade's gone, right? That was a surprise to a lot of people, or maybe not a surprise to a lot of people.
He found new life.
April 15th, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Samoa Joe, Kalisto. By the way, Samoa Joe got rehired.
Right.
But where the hell is he?
I think he's a little banged up. Yeah, Kalisto.
Mickie James, Chelsea Green, Tucker, Bo Dallas, Mojo Rawley, Wesley Blake, all on April 15th.
Crazy.
This is when I was told it was not the final, it's not the end of firings. Yeah. Then in May.
About a month later.
We got, who is this? Kavita Davi?
Kavita Devi? I'm not 100% sure. Okay. I think they may have been at the PC.
Okay. Jessamyn Duke, Vanessa Bourne, Skylar Story, Alexander Wolf, and Velveteen Dream on May 20th. I think that's like almost a full-on year after the allegations against Velveteen Dream came out, right? It's like almost a year later. Maybe short of a couple months. June 2nd, Braun Strowman, which was the biggest surprise to me.
Shocker.
Because of his size, obviously. Lana, Buddy Murphy, Aleister Black, Ruby Riott, and Santana Garrett. By the way, this was a, like to me, this was a top tier release. You got Braun, you got Buddy that was in a big program, Aleister that was in a program, Ruby Riott that was, you know, very, very well liked by fans.
Yeah.
And Santana Garrett that I've always thought that she should be doing more. I don't know why they didn't do more with Santana Garrett because, you know, she was an NWA women's champion. She's really on the independents, really dominated that for quite a few years. So it was interesting. June 25th, a couple of weeks later, Fandango, Tyler Breeze, Tony Nese, Arya Daivari, August Gray, Sameer Singh, Sunil Singh,
the Bollywood
Kurt
boys.
Stallion, Arturo
Ruas.
Rojas. Rojas,
Ruas.
Marina Ruas. Shriver, Killian Dane, Matt Martell, and Chase Parker. Big list. A lot of them, again, not top names on the roster. July 31st, Bray Wyatt.
Super shocker.
Super shocker. August 2nd, Ric Flair. But that had more to do with... Actually, that was right before, right? The Dark Side stuff came out.
Yes.
He said that he requested a release and they gave it to him. August 6th, Bobby Fish, Bronson Reed, Jake Atlas. This is when the shift starts happening in NXT, right?
Right.
Ari Sterling, Kona Reeves, Leon Ruff, Stephen Smith, Tyler Rust, Zachariah Smith, Asher Hale, Giant Zangier, and Mercedes Martinez, which we saw debut on Dynamite last night.
Yeah.
November 2nd. I kind of wanted to go down this. I didn't realize it was going to go down this fast. This is long, but B-Fab, Ember Moon, Eva Marie, Frankie Monet, Graham Metalik, D.H. Smith, Harry Smith, Jeet Rama, Jesse Kamea, mm-hmm. Karrion Kross, Katrina Cortez, Keith Lee, Mia Yim, Nia Jax, Oney Lorcan, Scarlett Bordeaux, Trey Baxter, and Zaida Ramir, all on November 4th.
Shocking.
This list was surprising, considering, you know, they released all of an entire stable that they brought over. The 19th, now here, Enchante Adonis, uh-huh. Drake Maverick, Isaiah Swerve Scott, which surprised me, Jason Riker, John Morrison, Shane Thorne, Tegan Nox, and Top Dollar. Then on the 9th, we got Jeff Hardy, and obviously yesterday, we got Tony Storm.
Pretty nuts, man. I think the firings are definitely the worst of 2021. You don't want to see anybody get fired. But you know what? A lot of these people are going to land on their feet. They're going to be fine.
You know, if there was any sign that a third promotion is very needed, this is it. Look at all this talent that GCW. You have now. Dude, by the way, also the year prior, the 2020 releases, also, a lot of those guys have not gone back or not working anywhere. But this just shows you how big the WWE roster was or is still.
Yeah.
How big the AEW roster has become and how, you know, not everybody will fit in these two companies. Or should they? This is why it's very important. We need a third alternate company. And that's becoming more and more difficult to sustain, especially with the fact that, you know, these guys couldn't run buildings. They couldn't do anything. There was no revenue coming in. They tried. Ring of Honor tried. Impact is continuing to try like this. So MLW had a decent year. GCW had a decent year. But
yeah,
if there was somebody with some money that could put something together and sign some of these names, it would definitely change the landscape a little bit.
I agree with you. But I do think a Tony Khan is very few and far between. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, as much as we want that other millionaire to show up, what are the odds of that?
Not a millionaire rich. Billionaire.
A billionaire. What are the odds of that? You know, unless a corporation decides to get involved. You know, what if Disney turns around, looks at what TNT is doing under Warner Brothers and looks at what Vince McMahon's doing and says, hey, you know what? We could do this. You know, we can sign all these people and make like and hire the best people to do it, just like they do at Star Wars. We'll hire the best people to do this, and then we'll do it the best we can.
You know, I think that the bigger thing would be someone like a Paramount entering the game.
Really?
You know, not that I know anything, but I feel like, you know, they kind of have that with the whole Spike TV stuff with Impact.
Okay.
That there is. I've always heard, like years prior, that Viacom was kind of always tickled with...
Mm-hmm. Tickled.
Yeah, tickled with wrestling.
Okay.
So, I don't know. You know, it's I find that there is a need for it. I don't think it's going to really happen. I don't think anybody's going to be able to put something together 2022. But, you know, someone like Impact could kind of get their bearings in order a little bit with some more bigger talent. They just think that they're on a bad night on a bad station, which nobody wants to watch. And I think their aesthetic is a little dull.
Yeah, they don't have the they don't have a very engaging aesthetic, you know.
No.
And it's and you know what it is? It's I'm going to ask you this. It's not it's really weird too because AEW super minimal aesthetic, right? But for some reason whatever they do it right and it works.
Yeah.
You know, it's really nothing all that special.
No, but, it's not really. They don't have LCD panels everywhere.
But what they do works, you know? And then you look at Impact and you're kind of like, well, if there was a few tweaks to kind of make it a little more engaging to the eye, I think it would be a little better. You know, it's almost like the production value is an afterthought for Impact.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Biggest mystery of 2021, Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, that is the biggest mystery of 2021. That's a very complicated story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Where is he? What is he doing? Where does he want to go?
Where does Why he live? Isn't he What's on social TV? Security number?
Where do you live? Where's your social security number? What did you eat yesterday? I think Bray's story is going to be a 2022 story and where he ends up and what he does.
Well, when we get into the predictions, I'll share my prediction for you.
Okay, cool. Let's see what else. This is definitely a Mat Men experience. Leaving All Out was not fun at all.
Yeah, it was a bit of a pain.
We were saved by two brothers.
You were saved by two brothers.
I was saved by two brothers. You were saved by Tony.
We were saved by Tony. Tony, big shout out to Tony from
Tony Khan. He picked you up.
Tony Khan was like, I think Rich is in trouble. I called him on like, you know how like Jimmy Olsen has like a Superman watch.
Yeah.
I called him on. I called him on my Tony Khan watch.
What was going on? What was going on?
I think my wife was about to walk into the shot, like without even realizing it.
Big shout out to Tony from F4W that picked you up, and of course Jeff and Brian.
Yeah,
picking me and Jess and some who else? I don't know who else got in the car.
Yeah, who
Maybe
cares?
Treehouse. New Japan Stars start and stop of the year. Another bad worst of. For pro wrestling, obviously that has affected all of their booking and everything that they're doing. I'm hoping that they have a bigger year. The end of The Fiend and the rise of evil Alexa Bliss. So this got a lot of submissions when we asked like what people thought was the worst moment. You had the black goo, you had Shayna Baszler, the mirror spot, you had Bliss versus Orton. This was weird.
I think the Doudrop stuff and the Eva Marie stuff kind of ranks as like the worst stuff. But that's low-hanging fruit. That's like easy to pick on. You know?
That is easy to pick on, yeah. But, you know, and then it just went away, right? She just went away.
Well, that's the trend, right? Maybe we can throw that into the worst of WWE for 2021 is like a lot of stuff just went away. You know, pushes people like angles.
People pushes angles.
Except for Roman. Roman has been arguably the most consistent thing that WWE has done in the last year. And the rise of Big E.
Very cool. Yeah, the rise of Big E. That's the moment for him, really.
Here's something I'm going to throw in as some of the worst of 2021 because I just feel like not that I'm a jaded fan, but I'm like, why patronize us with pumped in crowd noise?
Oh yeah, they're still doing it. So some of the Thunderdome ending was a best of, but some of the elements still exist. Like you said, the pumped in crowd noise that they're still doing. Relentlessly. But why?
I don't know. You think it's because I personally take it as an affront where it's like, are you trying to fool us? Are you trying to fool us into thinking this is good? You know, like when we went to SummerSlam, that crowd was booing the S out of Goldberg, right?
Yeah.
When we watched it back, the pumped in crowd noise made you think the crowd was cheering Goldberg.
Yeah. No, they were really, I mean, I don't think people realize, like, you're absolutely right. And I forgot about that. They were booing him so heavy at that show. By the way, another best of, and I'm going to get shit for this. I think Bill Goldberg had the best match of his career in Saudi Arabia with Bobby Lashley. That was a redeeming match. That match was a redeeming match for him. I think a lot of, He's gotten tons of fair criticism, obviously.
Bah!
Bah! Just scared all those Saudi kids. That's all he did. He just went in the crowd and went, bah! And they just ran off. I thought that was a fantastic match, and they both, it wasn't like Lashley was carrying him the whole match. I think they both worked very hard at that. I think Bill knew that he had to kind of redeem the last couple moments that he's had, and he put it together, and I think he has one more match left, so let's see what happens with that. But I'm kind of adding that to the best of. That was his best match that he's ever had.
You know what I want? I want Goldberg versus John Cena.
I want that too. I don't know why.
I think it would work.
A lot of stiff muscles.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stiff muscles. Let's see. The fallout from Dark Side of the Ring, Plane Ride from Hell episode. I don't think a lot of people expected there to be a fallout, but no. I did get a couple messages from people that worked on it, and some people that were kind of like, they saw it prior, and they're like, this is not going to end well. And right. I'm like, for who? I'm like, for who? It's 20 years ago. Like, I didn't, when this was going on, like, I've heard the story 5 million times in every freaking shoot interview possibility, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's seen that X-Pac one, the infamous one with Sean Oliver, which I still consider X-Pac is one of the best storytellers.
Oh, 100%.
He tells a story about how he took the shears and he just chopped off Michael Hayes' ponytail.
So
and,
earnest, yeah.
You know, and like, you've always heard the story told in such like a jovial way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it kind of masked the possible assault, like assaults that happened on that plane.
Yeah, like, you know, it went from like jovially, it went from exactly what you were saying, like the people involved going like, yeah, we be nasty. And then now in 2021, it's like, no, you be nasty. You were nasty, like, and now you're going to pay for it.
I mean, one of the key components, like before the Ric Flair stuff, obviously, like, yeah. I think that was like that was a known thing that like he would flash people on flights and stuff. And obviously,
yeah, it's ding dong.
Dude, don't take your ding dong out, please. I think we could all like, that's not like a normal thing to do. I get it. Like,
no, it's
like,
not.
I think
a
we all understand that. But to me, the biggest thing was that Michael Hayes apparently, allegedly, right, from the stories that we've heard, started pissing right next to Linda McMahon, thinking that he was in the bathroom, and everybody no-sold it, and they like ushered him away back to his seat. I'm like, you know, that's a big part of the story.
Yeah. How effed up do you have to be to take a leak on an airplane?
G'd up. Everybody was G'd not up, in the bathroom. Apparently.
Allegedly. The Scott Hall thing was also terrifying.
The Scott Hall thing is terrifying. The fights on the plane, you know, Brock Lesnar and Kurt Hennig wrestling. And then you also heard the same thing about Vince doing the same thing on another flight. Like, you know, the story is kind of jumbled up. I get it. But Ric Flair did not come off well at all. It was far darker than I've ever heard the story been told in the past. And Tommy Dreamer took the brunt of this.
Yeah, I think like the Dreamer thing's a little weird. Just, I'm not defending anybody, but like, you know, he didn't come off great in the documentary, but I also think that's how he is. He's just a dry guy.
I think he's probably heard a lot of these interviews, and he's heard how the story's been told, and I think he just stuck to how the story's always been told, you know, where it was, you know, guys being guys. Listen, there's no defense at all from me to this, right? But yeah. I'm just saying, historically, if you've, you know, like, I could see if you have never heard the story before told this way, or in any way, you would say, my God, these people are monsters. Tommy Dreamer came off so insensitive and horrible. But if you've looked at the 20 years that this story's been told, it is every single account has been this, well, we're crazy wrestlers. And not that I'm saying that's the right way to tell the story at all.
Right.
But, like, when I saw this, I was shocked that this was how it was depicted.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the previous stories that I've heard that have been like, oh, yeah, and he took the scissors and he cut his hair and he pinned it on the wall the next day and he was losing his mind and everybody's laughing.
Yeah. And the Nature Boy took his pee-pee out.
And the Nature Boy took his pee-pee out. Like,
they made a cartoon about that. WWE
made a cartoon about it. And by the way, the flight attendants are all into him when this is happening. That's in the cartoon. Boy. Yeah. And he takes it out, and like he ends up banging all of them, apparently, allegedly, in the cartoon. You know,
it's bizarre. It's really, really bizarre. Crazy. Like again, it's, like I'm not defending anybody, but this is like this became such a bizarre wonky thing this year in the last year. Very wonky. It's almost akin to the wrestling version of tearing down Confederate statues. You know, so, where yeah. It's like after the fact. You know, it's like. Where these guys have to pay for what they've done. And again, I'm not defending anybody. I'm definitely not defending the Confederacy here. But it's one of those like, wow, yeah. This is like really nuts. And it got people in trouble like 20 years later.
Listen, I think we're in a different time frame too, yeah. Right? Like I think there's more focus on things like this. Like,
oh, absolutely. There's no, you know.
You can't, somebody told me a very interesting story about, she worked in finance her whole life, okay? This woman. And she's probably in her, she's retired now. I mean, multimillionaire retired, probably in her early 50s, was a major player at financial firms in the city. I don't want to give away, but she told me that she was like, listen, because we were just talking about the culture, finance culture, right? And she's like, listen, do you know, like the things that I dealt with, like conversations that I had, like, we would do these like martini happy hours, and like the guys would just get, I mean, somebody's penis was out all the time. Like that's how she said it, right?
Animals,
she
goes, animals, yeah.
But she's like, I couldn't, like, what the hell was I gonna say? I couldn't say anything. If it was today, that stuff would never happen. I would never tolerate it, but I had to tolerate it for survival. And I'm like, that's terrible. What a terrible environment that you worked in, that was so normal.
Well, that was also like the Terry Runnels part of that.
That was a Terry Runnels part, too, yeah.
Where everybody would just be like, hey, no sell it, no sell it, no sell it, you know? And it's nuts, too, you know? Like, listen, don't take your pee-pee out. Don't get so...
So crazy, man.
Don't get so effed up on whatever you're doing that you can't function as a human being, you know?
Dude, you're on the road. These guys are lunatics.
You think it was the muscles? You think it's all the muscles?
Yeah, too much muscles, man. Everybody's so much machismo going on. I don't know, but I thought that was the fallout from that was definitely not a good spot in pro wrestling, in especially in the legacy of Ric Flair. You know, the exploding barbed wire match, the ending.
Yeah, all right. You know, like I'll honestly 100% give that a pass.
Listen, for me, I give it a pass too. That was never the intention, you know? Sometimes things kind of fall apart.
Yeah. Got Ring of Honor, the end of Ring of Honor this year. That's a big that's a big worst of 2021.
So they're coming back WrestleMania weekend, but I don't know in what capacity. Okay. They're going to be, they released all their talent, so there's no more contracts there. So they're going to be running as, I guess, you know, and I'm not saying this to be critical, like a glorified indie. Where nobody really has a contract and people come in and out. That's going to be a logistical nightmare for them. But they think they could do it. So we'll see what happens. Night one rain delay. Obviously, that bothered you tremendously.
Just personally.
Yeah, personally. And I would say a big hit to wrestling. And that was the end of the NXT Black and Gold era. The Triple H era. And by the way, Triple H having you know, his heart issues and... terrible story. You never want to see anybody get sick or suffer in any possible way, but I don't like to go into health stuff, but I'll end it with the NXT stuff. You know, NXT revived pro wrestling for a lot of people, and
yeah,
I see
really
this
did.
All the time. It really changed the landscape of wrestling, and I think you need to give WWE and Triple H and everybody else involved a lot of credit. It definitely revitalized it for me and Rich, if I could speak for you.
Oh, yeah.
It just added another cool element to pro wrestling, another alternative on TV. Because when NXT was happening, 2013, 2014, more 2014, it became the, you know what? You don't have to watch WWE. You can watch NXT. And it was doing fantastic on the network, really cool wrestling. You know, was it a hit every week? No, but it didn't need to be because it was a one-hour show. It was still kind of developmental. It was guys that you wouldn't see on WWE TV, and they did a fantastic job with it. And now they're in this whole new era where a lot of people now, you know, it's a very disconnected product for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very well put.
Yeah. So, well, you know, listen, that was the worst of. We did the best of. Anything else that comes to mind, Rich?
No, man. Let's jump into these predictions.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up here. And guess what? We got a special bonus for you guys. We're going to do our prediction show coming out tomorrow, right after this. Rich and I may record it now, but we're gonna talk about some of the predictions for 2022. And I'm sure Rich and I have a bunch of stuff here. Rich, I see your predictions here, and I'm very interested to talk to you.
You intrigued?
I am very intrigued. Guys, that's it for the 2021 best of and worst of. Let us know what you think. Leave a comment. I want to know what your best of and worst of moments were for 2021. For Rich and I, we say goodbye, everybody.